Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, Old Testament, the book of Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 10. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because of an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we thank you for what we've already received just being assembled together in this place. Most importantly, we thank you for your presence that I trust that each one here can sense and feel. Thank you for the message of song. God, how you've used that to touch our hearts and to give us spiritual truths through the ministry of music. But now, Father, as we open up our Bibles and we look to this passage of Scripture in the book of Daniel, I know that you have a message for us through the preaching of thy word. And I pray, God, right now that you would just work in a very special way. Prepare the hearts of all that are here. Give each one that ear to hear what you have for them. And I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. What a great Bible character. If you've ever read the book of Daniel and studied the man, Daniel, just a tremendous blessing to see how God worked in and through this great Bible character. He would be known as a committed believer in the Creator God of Israel. Committed to his belief. He was a man faithful to what he knew was the will of God. He was faithful to what he believed. He was a loyal servant. Even though he had a position underneath the king in this world, he realized that he was a servant of Almighty God. And he was loyal to being a servant of God's. As we study the life of Daniel, you'll find that it is a great example for all to learn from. It's a great example for young and old to look to. And this morning, I trust that as we preach and teach on Daniel, on the message that God has for us this morning, that you will be helped by this testimony of Daniel as well. Daniel was taken in the Babylonian invasion, the Babylonian captivity, when Israel had turned their backs on God and God had warned them over and over again. And then he raised up this great nation, Babylon, and he delivered Israel into the hands of the Babylonians. If you go back in Daniel chapter 1, it reveals that. But what I want you to see is Daniel, as he was chosen by these leaders to prepare to be used in serving Nebuchadnezzar, we find here that Daniel, in verse 8, says this. Now, Daniel was thought to be about 17 years old. They were choosing the young so that they could pretty much brainwash them and then use their talents and abilities for the king's purpose. And as they chose Daniel and some other Hebrew children, in verse 6 it says, now among these were of the children of Judah. So we know that Daniel came from a very strong tribe of Judah. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the Bible says in verse 8 now, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So from Babylonian captivity, we find that Daniel is chosen, and Daniel is a man, even a teenager, with convictions. And then if you go back over, and we'll go back and forth a little bit here because this tells us a lot about Daniel. In chapter 6 of what we just read, he went from Babylonian captivity to being the main advisor over the Medo-Persian world empire. Now it's the Medo-Persian world empire. And Daniel is placed to be the main advisor over this world empire. In chapter 6 and verse 3, This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now we realize as we study this and we look at history, it is believed that Daniel at this time in chapter 6 is thought to be around 75 to 80 years old. From 17 years of age, when he purposed in his heart, to 75 or 80, when everyone noticed there was something different about this man, Daniel. And he was preferred above the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit was in him. His testimony, if you will, even then we would look at it as a Christian testimony. It was a testimony of Israel believing in an almighty creator God, one God, a creator God. And if we would apply that to our lives today, it would be a Christian testimony, believing in the creator God who sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago to pay a sin debt that every man, woman, and child over the age of accountability owes and cannot pay, and yet he paid it for us. And as we receive Jesus as our Savior, then he gives us a gift of everlasting eternal life. And once we receive that, then we become his. We were bought with a price. And he has a purpose and a plan for our lives as Christians. And the most important plan and purpose that he has for every Christian life is a testimony. An example to the rest of the world, wherever you might be, wherever God might plant you. wherever, whatever part of this world you have been, that you've been placed in and you've been saved, those saved in Africa, those saved in South America, those saved in the United States, God's purpose, His main purpose for every person who gets saved is that they have an example, they have a testimony of Christianity, to be Christ-like. So here we find Daniel is a perfect example of what God would have every one of us to be in the day and age that we live in. It was so effective that a worldly king, when he found out that he was kind of tricked into making this decree that could not be reversed, and that Daniel, the one that was chosen above the others, would now have to be thrown into a lion's den. This worldly king would encourage Daniel concerning his faith in his God. Verse 16 in chapter 6. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually. That was his testimony. It had so impacted this king that he says, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And that's pretty good when you have a worldly king telling Daniel, don't fret it, Daniel. I was forced into doing this. Nothing I can do about it. But the one who can do something about it is your God. And I've seen that he's real. He'll protect you. Not only that, in verse 18, this worldly king would even fast for Daniel. Then the king went into his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. What an impact this testimony of Daniel had on this king. Now afterwards, when the king saw that Daniel's God did protect him, and he shut the mouths of the lion, look down to verse 26. The king says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. You see, the influence of God has impacted this world in every generation. God has had those that he would use that would be called the servants of God, those that represent a creator God. And as we look back into time, we see how that those individuals were mightily used by God to impact this world concerning the testimony of a creator God. And for some 2,000 years now, Christianity has impacted this world like no other religion, like no other faith. Christianity has been used to establish this great nation that we call the United States of America. That God has raised this nation up to accomplish His will in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the last 250 or so years, it's been America that God has empowered. It's been America that God has used to send missionaries around the world for His purpose. Even in the very beginning, the book of Acts, the Bible said the Christians turned the world upside down. Wow. How powerful a testimony can be. Well, how did Daniel do this? Or if you will, how did Daniel do what he did? I don't think there's any doubt. We look at this, and for his entire life, from a 17-year-old teenager, and teenagers can impact this world. You can impact your school. You can impact other teenagers' lives. And from Daniel, an example of Daniel, from the young all the way to the old, and Daniel as an older man impacted the world for the cause of God. So how was he able to do what he did? And I think we can learn from this. And that should be the desire of every truly born-again believer who knows Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, for God to work through you to make a difference in somebody else's life. Well, the first thing that we find about Daniel is Daniel knew what he believed. And can I tell you, the first thing that you need to do as a 21st century Christian, because there's all kinds of different philosophies and there's all kinds of different so-called doctrines of faith out around you today. There's religions and churches on every corner. What we have to do first and foremost is to know what we believe and why we believe it. Daniel first believed in the God of Israel. He was raised in the tribe of Judah. He had a tremendous family to look to that raised him to understand the God of Israel. He was able to look back to see how God had delivered Israel out of bondage, how that God had parted the Red Sea for them, how that God sustained them as they went through the desert. Over 2 million people, God sustained them as they went through the desert. And as they got to the promised land, how God delivered the promised land into their hands, and they were able to conquer as God led them. And no doubt they were repeating this and they were helping Daniel to understand, and they had the law. They had the law of Moses, and that's what they were given to live by in the Old Testament. And Daniel understood the laws of God, and he understood the one creator God and what God's will was for his life at that time. He knew God's revealed word. And can I tell you, that's what we need to understand too. Our faith should not be based upon a man. Our faith should not be based upon a religion. Our faith should not even be based upon what we were taught as we were growing up. Our faith should not be based upon what somebody else has told you. Our faith has to be based on fact, and fact is the Word of God. We somewhat looked at that in our Sunday school lesson this morning, and that's where our faith, it needs to be based upon what thus saith the Lord, because the Word of God will never change. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never change. His words will never pass away. It will always be here. We find that God is an immutable God. He is an unchanging God. And so once you understand the will of God, it will not change. Once you understand the Word of God, it will not change. Once you understand a biblical principle, truth is truth. If it was a truth 1 million years ago, it's still truth today, and it will continue to be truth another 1 million years from today. Truth does not change. And so once you understand who God is and what His will is for humanity and why we even have this planet Earth and why man occupies this Earth and why we have a free will, once you understand this and you understand that God has preserved His word for us today, and Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If Jesus said that's what we are to live by, then can I tell you that God, who created all things, can and has the power to preserve every word for humanity today. It's found in His Bible right here. And so our faith and what we believe needs to be based on what thus saith the Lord, and that will not change. That will not change. Daniel understood the law. He understood God's revealed will for his life at that time. Leviticus chapter 17. He knew what they were getting ready to do. He knew how they were going to try to win him over, and how that they would try to use him and his talents and what they would set before him. And I believe that Daniel probably could have quoted Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10. The Bible says, and whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel. Are you of the house of Israel, Daniel? Yes, he's talking to you then. If you're a Christian today, can I tell you every word of the New Testament was directed to you? God preserved His word for His children. And now he revealed it so a lost man can know what the Bible says a man has to do to be saved. But God's revealed word is for his people. And everything you read in the New Testament is for you, for me as believers. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, they're going to be part of you. They're going to have to do what you do. You're to be the influence, not the world. Amen. When the world starts influencing you more than you are an influence to the world, run. Get away from that. Amen. So he's telling them that. He says, strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. So Daniel knew that the Medo-Persians and the Babylonians, they did not have the very same standards to live by. They did not understand about the blood. And he knew that if he ate what they had prepared for him, the more than likely it might be rare. They would probably prepare it with the blood, whatever it might have been there. But he understood this. The Bible says, God says, you're not to eat the blood. I will even set my face against that soul. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. It took a man several hundred or thousands of years to realize that. They used to drain the blood thinking they was helping man. In the medical profession, then they realized, wait a minute, no, that hurts. The life is in the blood. Read the Bible. The life has always been in the blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Everything about the blood sacrifice was preparing humanity for the ultimate blood sacrifice, which would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a purpose and plan for that. Daniel didn't understand all about that, but he understood the life was in the blood, and it was not God's will for them to partake of the blood. And if they were partake of the blood, then they would have the actual curse of God upon their life. I will even set my face against that soul. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourn among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. And it goes on. So Daniel understood this. He knew the law. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 11, I believe Daniel would have had this memorized. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. That's why I believe Daniel understood that. And now he's been chosen. Should have been a privilege. All the other teenagers would have loved to have been chosen instead of been put in camps, slave camps. These are those that are going to go to the palace. Chosen. Daniel said, you might have chosen me. God might have a purpose for me going with you, but I'm not going to eat what you put before me if it's not prepared the way God tells me to eat it. Amen. I love that. He knew what he believed. He believed in the God of the Bible, and he knew what the God of the Bible expected from him. And the first thing is, do you really know what you believe? We're living in a world that's going to try to persuade you to believe their way. You're going to have people come around, they're going to knock on your doors, and they're going to try to convince you to believe their way. There's going to be those at work, there's going to be other young people at school, there's going to be neighbors that you have that's going to try to convince you of philosophies of life. And if you're not based, your faith is not based in what thus saith the Lord. If you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, you're going to be confused. And more than likely, you're going to be influenced to go away from the Word of God. Daniel was able to have the kind of life that he had and made the impact on society that he had that we are reading about today because, first of all, Daniel knew what he believed. And I'm asking you this morning, do you know what you believe? And are you for sure that it is based upon what thus saith the Lord? Most important. The second thing we find about Daniel. Know what that means. You know what you believe based on the Bible. Know what that means. Daniel knew the Bible. He understood the will of God for his life. And so that meant that the Bible says, or that Daniel says in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I can't defile myself. I can't go opposite what God says. I know what he says, and now, no matter what, I cannot go opposite of what the Bible says. I cannot, I will not defile myself. And basically today is, how is a Christian believer supposed to live? That's what Daniel was saying. Now that I know that God is real, I believe in him, I understand that he's working all things, I don't understand really what he's got planned for me, but I know he has a plan. And I know that if I'm going to have God's blessings in my life, even in captivity, I cannot defile myself. I will not eat what they put in front of me if it goes opposite what God tells me to eat. And so I know what I believe. Now, how is it going to affect my life? How am I supposed to live? In chapter 6, as we read here, this is later on in his life, around 75, 80, he knows. He has been living this way for some, all this time. In chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. His testimony is, he lived for God. Don't you love that? What a blessing it would be for any one of us, I would hope, for somebody to say, I don't know much about that man, and I don't know much about that woman, but I know this, boy, they're faithful. They live what they preach. Amen. That's what they said. Daniel, don't try to find fault in his character. Try to find fault in his loyalty. Don't try to find fault in his person. The only way we're going to try to get to Daniel is try to get him revealed and doing something against his God. How's a Christian believer supposed to live? His enemies even knew of his lifestyle. Can I tell you this morning that sanctification is part of the Christian lifestyle? It has to be if you're going to please God. Sanctification is set apart for God's purpose. Set apart for God's purpose. If you know what you believe, you know that God is real, you know the Bible is real, then understand that how it's going to affect you. That's what I'm supposed to live. That's what I'm supposed to be. That's how I'm supposed to live. I know God is real. I know he has a purpose and a plan for my life. This is his will for my life. Now I've got to just apply it to my life. I've got to live that way. That's what Daniel knew. Know what that means to be saved. Amen. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Everybody following with me this morning? Come on, wake up, wake up. Get a hold of what God has for us this morning. This is good stuff. It's going to help you in your testimony. Can I tell you, it'll help your family. It'll help the atmosphere in your home. It'll help your place of work. It'll help your neighbors. It'll help your society. It'll help your church, whatever it is. Your testimony. That's the most important thing that you have to give to the Lord is a testimony. First, in Titus, in chapter 2, in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Everyone has an opportunity to be saved. Once you've received that, teaching us that, Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Denying ungodliness. So if a Christian life should deny ungodliness, anything that doesn't honor God. And deny worldly lusts. Wow. We should live. This is what you're turning away from. This is what you're turning to. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's what he's done for us. And to purify unto himself a peculiar people. I love that word, peculiar. I'm sure glad it didn't say weird. Peculiar means different. Praise the Lord for difference. Peculiar people, zealous of good works, you're excited about it. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. How did Daniel do what he did? He knew what he believed. He knew what that meant in his lifestyle. Today, too many choose to be worldly and not godly, rich and not righteous, accepted and not respected, carnal and not spiritual. That's what it means. It means that godliness is what's most important. Righteousness, respected, instead of being accepted, and spiritual. Well, we also need to know what it will take to live that way. Go back in verse 10. Go back with me to Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10. Okay, Daniel, I understand that you know what you believe. You know what that means, how you're supposed to live your life, but do you know what it's going to take to live that way? Verse 10, chapter 6. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened and his chamber toward his Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Realizing as he did every day the things that he needed to do in order to enable him to accomplish what he was able to accomplish. Prayed and gave thanks. A close walk with God. It's going to be impossible for anyone to live the way God would have us to live in this society without a close walk with God. Presented that a little bit on Friday night to the men at our men's retreat. It all falls back on man. God, when he established all things, he gave man the position of headship over his wife and over the home. Not that God is a respecter of persons. He's not. Not that God thinks more of the man. It doesn't. But he has a position. And the decision that that man will make, since God's given him that position of headship, will affect his marriage and it will affect his home. God's given the position in the church as a man to be the leader in the church. There's qualifications for pastoring. There's qualifications for deacons. And one of the very first is the husband of one wife. Means God says, I want a man to lead my church. I want a man to pastor my flock. I want a man to be a deacon. That's what the Bible says. Now, you have different philosophies on that today, and you have different beliefs on that. But what the Bible says will not change. It doesn't change with the 21st century. It's always been that way. For this entire church age, when God established his church, he says, I want to put a man over the home, and I'm going to put a man over my church. And when men make wrong decisions, it affects their homes. And when homes are weak, it affects the church. And when the church is weak, it affects society. And thus, we're in the situation we're in today. The society doesn't even know what the definition of a home is, what the definition of marriage is, wanting to continue to change things. The men ought to be what God wants them to be, and the influence that they ought to have over their homes. You're going to have strong homes, and when you have strong homes, you have a strong church. You can't have a strong church without having strong families, and when you have a strong church, the church will influence society. Simple as that. You go back over history and you'll see that playing out. Know what it takes to live it. Close walk with God. It's what we knew. It's what he knew he needed to do what he needed to do. Amen? That didn't confuse anybody, right? It's what he needed to do what he needed to do. It's what we need to do if we're going to do what we need to do. Three times a day, the Bible says, every day, he didn't make excuses. If he had made excuses before, he had a huge excuse this time. Well, I'm just too tired. I know God will understand. I don't, the church, this is the only day off that I have. I mean, come on. I worked all 6 days a week. I got to have this day off. God will understand. And you make an excuse for not doing what you know God would have you to do. And that's not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We say, well, not tonight. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to pray. I'm just going to go to sleep and all the different. You make excuses for not doing what you know you need to do to accomplish what God has you here to accomplish. When it really gets serious, if you've already made excuses, can I tell you? You'll definitely make an excuse then. His life was on the line. Being cast into a den of lions. Because he hadn't made excuses, he wasn't going to start now. I love that. No excuses, no justifying of not doing what you know God would have you to do. Once you start making excuses, you justify not doing it as well. That wasn't Daniel. He knew what it would take, and he did it. And then lastly, as we close, be committed to doing what it takes. Just be committed to it. Daniel purposed in his heart as a teenager, I'm not going to defile. I'm going to serve God. As far as we know, his whole life he was committed to that. And then we find in chapter 6, when he's 75, 80 years old, he's still committed to it. What a blessing. Not only to start strong, but to finish strong. I don't know about many here today, but there's a good number of us that are on the going around the final lap. And what's most important for us? Finish strong. There's a greater need for it today than ever before us. From ever before. There's a greater need for a Christian testimony. A true, genuine Christ-likeness than ever before. Go back, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 22. No doubt in those years, Daniel had faced many a test. As we read this story, we get the impression that Daniel was never worried about it. You don't find Daniel when he hears that they tricked him into making this decree. You don't find Daniel crying. You don't find Daniel going, King, they tricked you into it. Don't do this. Don't do this. He just continues about his everyday business. Does the very same thing. He opens it up to Jerusalem because he's focused on Jerusalem because that's where he knows Christ is going to return to. Amen. He's living his life looking for Christ to come. He's focused on God's will for his life. And he just continues to do what he needed to do to do what he needed to do. He wanted to go pray and walk with God to get spiritually charged up. Didn't know what would happen after that. He knew what the decree was. He understood that the law of the Medes and Persians, he could not change that. So he knew he was going, if he did this, he's going to the lion's den. But he wasn't worried about it. Why? Because he knew he was right with God. Close in verse 22. Look at Daniel. After God delivers him from the lions, verse 22. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. When you see God working, when you see God opening doors that you don't even know exist, When you see God putting a healing hand upon you, when you see God answering prayer, that's where Daniel's at. Right? He wasn't worried about it. He didn't want to get eaten by the lions. Can I tell you that? Didn't want that. But didn't seem worried about it. My God sent his angel, shut up the lion's mouth. What an experience. He was actually cast into a den of lions. And they would not feed these lions. These lions, the only food they had is whoever they cast into the den. And you can imagine. Have you ever been to the zoo and you got close to the lions? Just their breathing scares you to death. Whoa, what lungs. And then they'll yawn or they'll maybe every now and then let out a roar. And just that the power in their voices. And you look at them and their teeth and you there was no bars in between Daniel and all these lions. When he was cast into there, the lions were all around, ready to fight over that meat. That's all Daniel was to them. Until God intervened. And they looked at Daniel, and God just laid them down. I believe Daniel possibly used one of them for a pillow that night. Amen? There all night long, no fear. Because he sensed the angel of God and he saw what God had done to the lions. Close their mouths. Shut the mouths of the lions that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I know I'm right with God and I know I'm right with you. And I have no worries. Because I'm walking with God. If you know that, you'll find your depression, your worries going away because you understand who God is. It begins with, do you believe in God? If you believe in God, first of all, when you find yourself facing the lions, you can have the very same peace that Daniel. What a powerful testimony that anyone and every one of us can have if we'll do the very same things. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.